Good afternoon, and welcome to 3CR. You're listening to A Rounding Brother's Dream. My name is Rafael Caleb. For the past few weeks, I've been following the Angus Project on ABC Comedy. In line with that theme, I've got an interview coming up with Nick Hayden, who's the executive producer of the Fresh Blood series, and I've got a person in the studio called Romy Durand. Hello, Romy.
Hello.
Now, Romy is got a degree in English, and we'll be reviewing the Angus Project. But first off, we're going to take a few station announcements, and then we'll play the interview with Nick Hayden, the executive producer of Fresh Blood.
Have you ever wondered about the meaning of the terms identity politics, intersectionality, TERF, or institutional racism? Same here. This summer, Tuesday Breakfast is going back to school to answer these questions and more. Join us as we learn from experts, academics, writers, activists, and people with lived experiences to share their knowledge on decolonization, sovereignty and self-determination, race and identity, sexuality and gender, and disability and accessibility. Knowledge shouldn't be locked away at a university, so let us bring it to you. Tune into Summer School, Tuesday mornings from 7 a.m, starting the 8th of January, 8:55 a.m. or via 3cr.org.au. And check out our Instagram, 3CR Tuesday Breakfast, for more details.
I'm talking with Nicholas Hayden, the executive producer of the Fresh Blood series on ABC. Good afternoon, Nick.
Good afternoon, but look, nobody calls me Nicholas unless you're my mother or I'm in trouble. So you can just call me Nick unless I'm in trouble for some reason.
Nick, that I've got no doubt that you won't be any trouble whatsoever.
great. Okay.
Cool. Now, we're here to talk about the Fresh Blood series. What actually is the Fresh Blood series?
Fresh Blood is an initiative between Screen Australia and the ABC that aims to find the next generation of comedy content producers. Writers, producers, performers, you name it, directors. Basically, it's an initiative to dig up new talent that basically can't find an avenue through the kind of traditional network system, because it can be quite difficult. So initiative like this is so important in giving new voices the opportunity to say what they have to say through comedy.
It certainly is extremely important. Now, the Fresh Blood series has been running since 2013.
Yeah, we've done two iterations of the three-stage initiative, and we're currently in stage three of the second, time round.
Right. Now, what was the actual collaboration between Screen Australia and the ABC? Was it straight up to perform a platform for new emerging talent? But how did that actually dream come about?
Look, the first time Fresh Blood was run was before my time at the ABC, long before my time at the ABC. So I couldn't really speak to the details of how it came about. But I do know that Screen Australia and the ABC came together to discuss, they basically wanted to find an avenue and that would give new comedic voices a place to play. And they thought, well, this is a perfect thing for the national broadcast to be doing. You know, ABC and Screen Australia have a history of supporting new comedic talent. And through programming in the past and through kind of other initiatives like the Project Next initiative several years ago, and they thought this is just another opportunity to keep that lineage going.
Now let's talk a bit about the process of Fresh Blood. The concept is for new emerging people to come through. Now, one of the platforms that the ABC does come through, it's about diversity, it's about creativity, and about ambition. Not my words, these are from Lee Naomi, Online Investment Manager of Screen Australia.
Yes, I know Lee well. He's a great man. Lovely bloke.
Now, from a point of view, how do people actually find out about the Fresh Blood series? How do they actually apply for it?
So So like I said, it's a three-stage initiative. Stage one is where we do a call out for entries, and that's the stage where, you know, a number of teams produce 3 by 5 minute comedic shorts. Stage two is some of those shorts get selected to produce a pilot, and that was what was happening last year, where 4 teams produced 4 full half-hour pilots. And stage three is the stage currently now, where one or so or more of those teams get to produce a full series. So when we're doing call-outs for stage one, basically there are press releases put out. The ABC and Screen Australia put the call out on across all of their social channels, and then there's also a promotional video made that's usually released that will point to the website where you can kind of upload your entries or your application rather.
Right, now is it the 4 programs which have been part of the Fresh Blood series so far have been the Angus Project, Koala yep. Man, mm-hmm. Why You Like Me, and Be Your Own
Why
Boss.
You Like This, yeah.
And look, is it, they're all got a range of different characters in there. For example, is that Koala Man is an animation series. Mm. And that was just one of those unusual storylines which I came across with it, is that for the Around the Biologist Dream, I've spoken in depth with a number of the cast and crew from the Angus Project. Now, what's the type of criteria that the ABC is looking at to actually go into the Stage 3 series to actually make the type of content?
Look, we haven't announced who is the successful team or teams, and that will be coming sometime later this year. But so I can't really speak to the specifics. I can give you an idea of what we're looking for. And I think what we're looking for is laid bare in the 4 projects we chose to go to pilot stage. They're very, very diverse projects in terms of their comedic ideas, how they approach story, and also just the level of diversity you'll see on screen. I think all of those things are present across the 4 pilots that were produced. You've got mockumentary, you've got animation, and then you've got 2 kind of more traditional scripted narratives. But even between Why You Like This and the Angus Project, they're very different in their tone, comedic tone and approach. One of them is very, Why You Like This is quite black, it takes no prisoners, whereas the Angus Project is kind of more absurdist. It's got this kind of real sense of place and a world that they've built in this kind of almost fictionalized version of Ballarat. And of course, it's obviously very different in terms of the way it presents disability on screen, having one of the creators actually play themselves, somebody with cerebral palsy. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that on screen ever before in Australian television.
Oh, look, I agree with you. I haven't seen anything like that on television. I think there was a film a number of years ago where there was the main character did have a disability. However, it was actually played by a mainstream character who didn't have a disability. And the information I have from speaking with Nina Oyama is that it is the first time in Australian television history that the main character is played by someone who does have a disability.
To the best of my knowledge, I think Nina is correct. But don't hold me to it. If somebody's out there researching and they've found some obscure, you know, television show that ran briefly in the '70s.
Look, that's one of the things about it. There might be a little obscure reference anywhere if someone did the research, but that's bizarre. But however, is it for the purpose of Fresh Blood?
Can agree that it's unusual and it doesn't happen very often, if ever.
Well, like I said, I was talking to a co-host a couple of weeks ago. I couldn't think of one case where a person did have a disability on screen, let alone as the main character. Now, how does the public get in contact with the Fresh Blood team to, let's say, I really like, let's say, the Angus Project, or I'm a big fan of Be Your Boss, or I'm a big fan of Koala Man, or Why You Like Me?
Look, there are a variety of ways of getting in touch with the ABC. I think most people have social media. There's an ABC comedy Twitter and Facebook account. same with ABC Television and iView. And if you just hashtag Fresh Blood in any post, you can tell us which pilot was your favourite and which you'd love to see more of. Or alternatively, you can just get in contact with the ABC in more traditional ways. Like there's the audience feedback email, which is very easy to find if you just Google ABC audience feedback. Or you can, if it makes you fancy, you can write us a letter. But anything that says, this is my favourite, I'd love to see more of that, we will read and we'll take it into consideration.
Yep, sure, because that's one of the things about the whole Fresh Blood series is that they, all the ideas do have a lot of merit, is that I would love to see all four of them actually on the ABC.
Tell us, if you want to see all four, tell us you want to see all four. I think it'd be fantastic if we could produce all four, because I think all four pilots are incredible. Sadly, as with many things of ABC, it'll come down to, resources have to be allocated in a certain way, and often you just need to make the hard call based on which idea gets up. But yes, I agree with you. I think they're all very, very strong pilots. And in an ideal world, it'd be great to see four series.
Some people think little girls should be seen and not heard, but I think... Oh, bandage! Up yours! One, two, three, four!
Wayward Girl, the intersectional feminist music show. Tune in Fridays 9 to 10 through summer on 3CR.
Now, welcome back to A Rounding Biologist Dream on 3CR on Thursday, the 10th of January. We're going to continue with the second half of the Nick Hayden, the executive producer interview from Fresh Blood. I know that we've been talking about stage one, stage two, stage three of the Fresh Blood series. Mm. Now, is there going to be a fresh call out for stage one to start again, maybe in 2019?
It won't be this year, given we're currently in stage three. So we have, basically, the way the initiative has worked in the past is that you complete one full cycle, stages one, two, and three, and then it starts again. So I can't say 100% whether the initiative will be back next year, but if it was, it wouldn't kick off until at least 2020.
Right, sure. That makes a lot of sense. Is that that was the clarification of people who listened to the whole series about, hey, how would I like to be able to get involved and what they can do about it? So basically, it's a revolving thing of about at least a 3-year cycle before the fresh call out comes out.
If you think back to 2016, when the two series of Wham Bam Thank You Ma'am, and Fancy Boy went out, they were released in December 2016, and it was the same time we did the call out for stage one. So we used the release of the series to do a call out for new entries for starting the initiative again, which was in 2017. So if we get to run the initiative again, and of course it's not just up to the ABC or Screen Australia, we need to agree. It wouldn't happen until after we're airing the series for this initiative, this cohort.
Now, how would you describe the future of Australian comedy?
That's a big question. But I think looking at even going back to the stage one of the current group of Fresh Blooders, if that is the future of Australian comedy, I think it's very bright. There's a lot of very interesting ideas that are niche, that are broad. There's a variety of comedy styles. There's a lot of really interesting, risky, lateral ideas, and they're all very, very funny. So just looking at the group of people in Fresh Blood makes me very positive about the future.
It is that one of the things that a few years ago with, let's say, the National Raw Comedy Competition, there seems to be a theme that seems to run through a particular series that judges and the public are looking for. That one of the things that Alistair Baldwin, who does work at the, who was one of the screenwriters for Get Cracking, that the year which he was the finalist, the state finalist at a National Royal Comedy in 2016, it was about personal stories and making a little bit of fun of his particular life. Now, do you think those type of trends would actually continue, or it might be doing interpretations of, let's say, political satires, or mixing and matching different situations of everyday characters, putting them into places where they would not usually meet?
Yeah, look, I think a lot of that type of programming already exists, and it certainly does, will probably continue. I think if you look at the two probably most well-known comedies at the moment on the ABC would be Rosehaven, which is a personal story for Luke McGregor, the guy. He actually grew up in Tasmania, and much of it's, even though a lot of it's fictionalised, there's also some autobiographical elements. And then you've got Utopia, which is just clearly a plain satire. So yes, those types of comedy programs are certainly alive and kicking, and I imagine will continue to be so on the ABC.
Now, I said it's a big step to go straight onto television. What are the type of steps you might like to suggest, Nick, about how a person could get ready to have a pitch an idea for if there was a Fresh Blood series, let's say in 2020 in stage one? How would they go about getting their experience and putting ideas together?
Well, the criteria for entry for Fresh Blood is a pitch document, which kind of outlines your ideas, and you also have to include some bios of the key creatives who've been involved, and then you have to submit a little video which shows some of your work. So if you're thinking about getting prepared for that, the best way of doing it would be to start making stuff now. Make a few mistakes, learn a few things on the job, and then by the time you come to entering into, it doesn't even need to be Fresh Blood, it might actually be pitching something directly to a network or going to Screen Australia for funding. You'll have learnt the ropes by actually doing it a few times. And you'll know how you can realise your ideas, because often it's very difficult, or it's a challenge to move from script, which is where you might clearly see an idea, to actually executing it in a piece of video content. So I would say get out there and make.
Yep, and that's one of the experiences that I had. It's one of the pieces of work that I have written, that when I wrote them down, as people read them and thought they were very funny until they actually tried to perform them live, and well, they didn't actually work there, but I'm pretty glad they were in very obtuse venues that it happened, because it helped clarify about what to do and what not to do.
That's right, yeah. And you learn, I think the old adage is you learn more from your mistakes than your successes, and I think it's always going to be a learning experience if you go out and actually get something made off you, especially if you're doing it off your own bat. That's how most people, I think, probably work their way into the industry.
And to start off by making these videos, what type of equipment do you think people would be looking at? For example, a special camera which they'd have to buy, or would it be acceptable to do things like using an iPad or a mobile phone?
Look, nobody is going to judge the quality of, especially if it's a proof of concept or if it's a video that's accompanying an application for an initiative like Fresh Blood, where the thing I'm most interested in is the idea. It's not so much the production value. So I think you could, if it's a great idea and it's funny and it works, shooting it on iPhone, no problem at all.
I certainly understand that too. Now, for the four programs that were made, I believe that they were giving a budget of, I think it was $15,000 to make, I think it's 3 to 5 6-minute short videos to see
how it
could be developed. And then once they got to the half hour stage, I think they were giving, I think it was $75,000 to make the full half hour.
That's correct, yeah.
And that sort of like covers things like the lighting, paying the actors, the development of the idea of it, Or can they actually source additional funding on top of that?
Some of the teams did source additional funding through state grants, and some of the teams also got some additional funding from other places. So, yeah, the answer was a yes, of course. And look, the ABC also helped out. Also helps out with the pilots where we can, because obviously the network has a lot of internal resources. So if projects needed access to some audio facilities for post-production, et cetera, there's also other areas where the budgets are supported by other resources.
Yep, and that's one of the things that when a person's trying to actually put together a project, it is sometimes, or what I've found, it's thinking very laterally about where to apply for things like grants, is that the experience which I've had with grants, that it's a very, very, very competitive process, and it's trying to think a little bit outside the square how to maybe get other places that would like to get involved with it into it.
That's right.
And that can be a challenge, especially with a comedy series. That one of the things that, let's say, George, who was it? It was E.T. with the M&Ms. And I think it was the Reese Hershey bars. That that would have been a little thing of getting the advertising into it. Would that, do you think that could actually work around a comedy setting?
Sadly, not on the ABC, because we cannot advertise. Not negative advertising, not subtle advertising, not... No, you could do that easily if you were working with any other network, but not on the ABC, given we're not allowed to have any advertising.
No advertising at all. Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense then, because that means it has to stay totally independent, away from having outside commercial influences.
Yes.
That's a very good answer there. Very, very short. Now, Seth, we're just going to wrap up a little bit now. Now, thank you very much for your time, Nick. Now, in regards to the Fresh Blood series, the best way for people to contact and give feedback is to the Twitter account, ABC Social Media. Call the ABC about performance feedback, or write a letter.
Yeah, I would only write a letter if you really love writing letters. The easiest way to let us know which is your favourite would be contacting the ABC social media accounts, ABC Comedy Facebook or ABC Comedy Twitter, and hashtag Freshblood, or you can email the ABC directly. There's an audience feedback email account that can be easily found on the website.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Nick. Much appreciated.
My pleasure. Thanks for the interview.
Okay. We've been talking with Nick Hayden, who is the executive producer of the Fresh Blood series on ABC. Thank you very much.
Become entranced by dark and twisted soundscapes during 3CR's summer special music program Midnight Mass, featuring psychedelic trance on the darker side of the spectrum. Tune in for the Forest Beats, local music artist interviews and talk of electronic music production on 3CR every Friday night during summer programming between 11 p.m. and 1 a.m.
Good afternoon and welcome back to 3CR. We've just played an interview with Nick Hayden, the executive producer of the Fresh Blood series, and right now, live in the studio on the 10th of January, I have Romy Durand. Welcome to the 3CR studio, Romy.
Thank you. Hello, everyone.
Now, Romy, tell us a little bit about your background to do with English.
Yep. So I'm a creative writing graduate. I studied at RMIT University in Melbourne CBD. I'm also a writer and I edit an online lit journal called Lore Journal, L-O-R Journal.
Right, so as far as the Angus project goes, because you've got the writing degree, it's a very good starting point for you to actually think about the Angus project, how it was actually scripted. What did you think of it?
It's wonderful. I thought it was very realistic and accessible in its humour. And I could definitely relate to it being 24, just fresh out of uni. And, yeah, it was great.
And where it goes. Now, I'm going to run you through a few of the scenes of the Angus Project, yep. Romy. Now, one of my favourite scenes is between Angus and Wizzer. Wizzer is the character who is the absolute Paralympian superstar, motivational speaker, the person who's got charisma, got the looks, the personality,
yep.
And Wizzer decides to send Angus out to go and get him some steroids to enhance his performance. What do you think?
No, sounds fun.
Sounds like fun, is it? How would you go about it when you met one of your creative heroes if they sent you to go out and break the law?
I'd be a bit hesitant, I think, to do it. But I've broken the law in some ways myself, so
so you're actually open to the idea then?
I'm not going to say yes, but...
Well, I'm going to put it to you another way then, Romy, that from a comedy writer's point of view, to put someone in a situation where they have to intentionally break the law to get closer to their superhero, from a writing point of view, what do you consider that type of idea?
It's quite absurd.
Quite absurd, is it?
Absurd.
Okay, but does that make it funny, though?
It does, yeah, because it, I guess it opens you up to kind of things you haven't seen before on TV.
Right. Now, what about some of the scenes which I haven't seen on TV before? For example, there is a lady and she is a facilitator. She actually has a very ableistic view towards people with a disability to get them actually involved. What she does, she makes it difficult for both the carer and Angus to go through and actually meet with her to begin with.
Yep.
Now, is that, with from a character point of view, what's the benefit of actually having conflicting characters?
Conflict is super important. It drives the narrative of a story. Very important to the plot and character development.
And as far as conflict goes, there was a number of conflicts that did come through the Angus Project. One of them was the conflict between Angus and Wizzer. There was conflicts, yep, between Nina and the carer. In one of the earlier episodes, there was a conflict between Nina and Angus.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually makes for more interesting why... When people are actually always in agreement,
yep,
why are people more interested in conflict than everybody saying, gee, that is nice, you're such a lovely person?
I don't think that would make for a very interesting story.
Okay, well, why wouldn't it make for an interesting story?
Well, conflict is... It's unpredictable and it's real, true to life. And yeah, I guess it's a way for us to connect with the characters as well. Seeing ourselves in how they deal with those conflicts.
Well, is it one of the things, best parts about conflict and scripting and reading about conflict? It makes the people human.
Yeah, exactly.
It shows them the human nature.
Yeah. Now,
as far as human nature goes,
mm-hmm,
is it important to actually have an insight into what human nature is when writing a script for anywhere?
Of course, yeah. I don't have much experience in script writing myself. I'm more kind of poetry and memoir based, but...
to get the actual insight into having the character development.
Yeah.
That I think one of the things about having human nature, it's knowing about how to push people's emotional buttons in order for them to get to react. Do you think the Angus Project does that well about, gee, I wouldn't want to do this, I like this or I don't like it?
Yeah, sure. It's challenging stereotypes people have of people with a disability. This assumption that narratives about disability will be less accessible or too alternative for mainstream audiences. But I guess the show is, it's an insight into the everyday life of these people, these young people in regional Australia.
And having this regional Australia aspect, do you think that's got wider appeal for all audiences across all mediums, both city and rural viewers?
Yeah, of course, because so many people live outside of the city and there isn't much of a focus on those small communities.
Right, and most regional centres, they do have a regional newspaper.
Yeah.
Such as the Bathurst Advertiser.
Yeah.
That's where the Angus Project is set.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think of the idea of a newspaper that the person is going in for a job interview, going out to find a place, and then is told, well, look, we can't actually pay you. And that's what actually happens when the chief editor is talking to Angus, sending him out on a sports assignment.
Yep. Well, I can relate to that one as a writer. Starting out, most of the work I've done has been unpaid, and that's just part of it. It's part of breaking into the industry is doing work for free. It's sad but true.
Right, well, I'm talking with Romy Durant, who is a writing graduate from RMIT, and we're discussing the Angus Project. Now, Romy, the big question is, you've been listening very intently to the interview with Nick Hayden about Fresh Blood. Is that something to actually aspire to actually at some stage come up with a script for Fresh Blood?
Sure, why not? I'd actually love to get into filmmaking, but I guess like so many other people, I'm kind of unsure about how and where to start.
Well, we're going to take a break at this point for a few community announcements, and we'll be back to discuss that straight after these station announcements.
Great. See you then.
Rap with Young Philly, sing with Fia, breathe with Avi Misra, yodel with Sue Hart, and much, much more at the Watt Singers Festival, January 11 to 13 at the Abbotsford Convent. Go to watt.com.au for more info or ring 9417 1983. A 3CR supporter.
Welcome back to a Rounding Biology Stream on 3CR. That was Waterfall by Heidi Everett. And welcome back to a Rounding Biology Stream with Romy Durant, writing graduate from RMIT. Now, what's the significance of Heidi Everett to Nexus?
Heidi Everett? Well, if you don't know what Nexus is already, it was an eight-week professional development program run through Arts Access Victoria for young artists with lived experience of mental health recovery. So I was one of 10 artists that did this program, and Heidi Everett is awesome individual. She ran the program with Phil Nowak from Arts Access, and I guess she's a musician, artist, mental health advocate.
Also a filmmaker. Filmmaker and illustrator, and she was across at Arts Unlimited in England earlier.
Yeah.
Last year, I should say.
Lots going on. Very so talented.
She's very well regarded.
Yeah.
Now, is it? What were the benefits of doing the Nexus program to you, Romy?
Well, each week we had about 3 or 4 hours each Friday. So the first part of the day would be we'd get a visitor from the creative industries come in and talk to us about what they're doing in the industry. So we had someone from Express Media, we had someone from Sin FM, we had someone from the Theatre Network. So engaging with these people, networking, just a lot of networking.
Now, is there a big difference between doing the university writing course at RMIT and listening to the professionals about what was actually happening?
Yeah, for sure. There's the writing, the degree I did was great. It was a great course. And it did engage some industry professionals, but maybe not on as broad a spectrum as what the Nexus program did. So we had visitors from across various mediums talking to us about their programs. So that was very appealing because we all worked across different mediums in the group. So we had a graphic designer, writers, screenwriter, artists, visual artists. So, yeah, it was very varied.
It was varied. Now, with the 10 participants of Nexus, did you know any of the Nexus participants before going to Nexus?
No, I didn't.
And how did people bond together then?
Well, you're working in a very close-knit environment. It's just, I don't know. We formed pretty strong bonds by the end, and going to work on a few different projects outside of the program. So we're holding a zine stall at the Sticky Festival in February. So, a couple of different results coming from the program, which is awesome.
Right. Tell us about the Sticky Festival.
So every year, Sticky Institute, it's a little zine store in the Flinders Street subway. Every year they run a big festival, a bunch of stallholders selling zines, self-published.
Right. Now, as a creative, what are the type of projects you were collaborating with Nexus?
At the moment, it's just the zines for the zine fair, but, I mean, it could go in any direction.
Now, is this correct, Romy? Is a zine like a digital magazine, or what actually is a zine?
So zine is short for magazine. I guess the more traditional format is a physical zine. So it's like a little book filled with art and all types of things, really. It's kind of broad, the definition, but you can have online zines as well. E-books, I guess, would be covered by the word zine.
So it's actually in a digital format, essentially.
Traditionally physical format, but yeah, I can really apply to anything.
And what it's like when you've got these future projects coming up outside Nexus,
yeah.
What other ones have you got coming up?
So Heidi Everett is, she runs a film festival called Mojo Film Festival. I believe that's in May. And that's taking place at the Melbourne Town Hall. Last year it happened at Acme. So I'm going to try and get a film in to that. Just a short 2-minute film.
Now, I said, with Mojo Film Festival, it was a complete sellout at Acme Cinemas in 2018. The first session was a complete sellout within 72 hours. And the second, and Acme got back to Mojo Film Festival and said, look, we really would like you to put on a second session. And that second session sold out with, I think it was 96 hours. And this was a few weeks before the actual event.
Yeah.
Now, do you know much about the Mojo Film Festival?
I didn't go to last year's because by that time it had already been, and I only found out about it through Nexus.
But now the Mojo Film Festival, it's a film festival about, which is films by people with a mental illness about their lives and about a disability.
Yeah.
That's why it's very interesting. It's very similar. I can see similarities between the Mojo Film Festival and the Angus Project.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
What do you see as some of the similarities, Romy?
Representation and visibility of people with a disability and in a mainstream setting. So you got the Mojo at the Town Hall, which is very accessible to Melbourne residents, and Angus Project, which shows on ABC, which so many viewers of ABC.
And also with the Angus Project, it's available on iView as well.
Yep.
Now, are you involved with Mojo Film Festival, and if so, in what capacity?
Not at the moment, I'm not, no.
Right, now is it?
I'm a little bit involved with Skitsy Inc., which is Heidi Everett's project similar to Mojo Film Festival. It's for people with mental illness, artists.
Now is it, Heidi Everett is a very strong mental health advocate.
Yep.
Was it right empowering to have someone like Heidi who could bring some of her experiences into Nexus for people?
Yeah, of course. It was very affirming in the sense that as an artist with mental illness or disability, whatever you like to call it, it can feel like you don't have a place in society and sometimes in the creative industry. That's kind of more flexible than other industries in that regard, but it's easy to feel like you'll never make it because so many different things working against you. But yeah, Heidi is a champion in that respect. She's involved in so many different community projects, and I don't know what to say.
Now,
really.
Have you ever met Heidi Everett before Nexus?
No.
Had you ever heard of her though?
No. No, I hadn't.
So, well, how did people actually apply for Nexus?
So I saw the opportunity advertised in a writing group I'm part of on Facebook. And it was just a poster for the program. It was posted by a local writer I know. That was the only, my only avenue. I just saw it and I thought, oh, I can't apply for this. I suppose at the time I didn't really identify as having a disability.
But that's also quite okay, is that as far as creativity or everyday living goes, it is really about what the person can do as opposed to perceptions about what society thinks a person shouldn't do.
Exactly, yeah.
And in relation to both the Nexus program and the Angus project, it is about breaking stereotypes, people living on the edge, pursuing their dreams and going for it.
Yeah.
How would you describe Heidi Everett as inspirational to you?
I don't know. She's a huge inspiration. Not just to me, to other people. I guess above anything, well, she's a peer. She's a leader. She's extremely capable and passionate.
So she's basically done the walk, so you can identify with her.
Yeah, I can identify with her. I think we all can, really.
And with your creativity to do with writing poetry, memoirs.
Yeah.
What do you actually look for when you're actually writing?
So I write a lot about, I write autobiography, so it's kind of all about me and my family histories and relationships. I'm hoping to focus more on invisible disability and future, so mental illness.
90% of disabilities are invisible.
Yep.
And quite funnily enough, things like what is the disability symbol? It is actually a wheelchair of a physical disability.
Yeah.
And there's no reference that 90% of disabilities are invisible.
Yeah.
Have you got a piece of writing that you're comfortable to talk about or share on air?
I wasn't expecting that one. Yes, the short answer.
Okay,
I guess I'd just invite you to read my work online. If you just look my name up in Google, a couple of different things come up. I've just had something published in Scum Mag, which is an Australian publication, and that's about some experiences from childhood. It's a bit raw, so I wouldn't recommend it for everyone, but you can just do a Google search. It's probably the easiest route.
Right, certainly. Now, because you're actually been writing about memoirs,
mm-hmm.
How difficult is it to write about your own life in a public forum?
I actually find it relatively easy, which is a strange thing because I'm very private in my personal life, but I find it easier to broadcast it. I'm not sure why. So I'm happy to write about it and publish it and share it online, but as soon as it comes to sharing something in real life with
other people,
face to face, as an actual human being, I find that very difficult.
Yep, certainly is it. that could be one of the things.
I think it's the anonymity of the internet.
Anonymity and the internet. That having anonymity and the internet, well, there's over 4 billion Facebook accounts.
Mm.
It has to be relatively anonymous.
Yeah.
Now, words I've got for you, Romy.
Mm-hmm.
What is the big direction, the big dream of 2019 for you and beyond?
Well, I'm kind of looking at making a few new things happen for Law Journal. Some new functions to the website. New and exciting things that no one's doing. I would like to write more, publish more than I did last year and in previous years. I guess my biggest dream is working in community arts and disability arts. And yeah.
That sounds very admirable. Congratulations to Romy. My name is Rafael Caleb. I've been talking with Romy Durant, a writing graduate from RMIT. We spoke about the Angus Project. Then we discussed Romy's dreams and aspirations. Thank you very much for your time, Romy.
Thank you, Rafael.
Now, to quickly wrap up the series of Around the Neurologist's Dream as a summer special, I'd like to thank Nena Oyama, Angus Thompson, Adam Bowles, Melina Wicks, and Nick Hayden, Romy Durant, for their participation, for giving up the time to talk about a very important aspect of television, disability in the community, turning it into a comedy. I'd like to thank the panellists, who were Kelly Whiteworth from Ruminations, Rosie Jens from Are You Looking At Me and Bin Day, and Leanne McLean from 3CR Training. We're going to go out with a song, and the song is by Heidi Everett, Runaway. Thank you very much. Keep listening to 3CR. Goodbye, and we'll be back. I'll be back hosting The Boldness on the 16th of January. Thank you very much. Keep listening.